Making magic's what we do. For good friends just like you. Here at TAOM.
Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it's a Saturday morning. This is August 31st. This is the last day of the month here of August, and the first full day of the Texas Association of Magicians. And I believe this is actually, through accounting, I found out yesterday, this is number 74. So I've been officially doing this, I think, a little bit longer, but as far as the counting goes, long story short, this is the 74th annual TAOM convention. So golly, we've been doing it for a long time. And here's a guy who's been to all of them, Mr. Greg Lancaster. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Scott, how are you? Good morning, good morning.
You're not that old, I'm sorry.
No, I think I've been to 45 of them. That's what I'm guessing. Yeah, I've been a member for 45 years.
Wow, that's amazing. What makes you keep coming back?
We absolutely love it. It's my favorite weekend of the year. I love Labor Day. I love TAOMs. We bounce around through five or six or seven major cities in Texas. It's always a great convention. There are times that we actually have better talent than the national and international conventions. We brought in some of the best talent ever. We had Rene Lavand a number of years ago.
Yep.
Most people can't say that. We just got through watching Chris Capehart. We saw Oscar Munoz yesterday. We've got Richard Turner coming up in an hour. Scott Hollingsworth is going on in a few minutes. So we've got more talent here than we know what to do with.
And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg, because there are so much more to go. And, you know, I really haven't discussed about last evening's show, which, you know, it used to be traditionally, as you recall, since you've been coming to so many of these, that the Friday night show seemed to be with either locals or, gosh, remember years ago, they would bus people from Mexico. There are a lot of magicians who came up from Mexico, and we'd have like a Mexican magic night, which was always interesting. But when they had a local show, it was just kind of like a club show, basically. Well, over the years, they've kind of done away with that, and they started going, I think, a lot with more towards what the national conventions have been doing. That is the IBM and SAM, where they have a competition night. Well, last evening that they had three competitors, stage competitors, which I thought were all very good. And then Jamie Salinas, who was last year's president of the TAOM, and performed, and also had another guy who was an Indian doing some comedy magic.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's correct.
And then Scott Pepper finished. So that's kind of the agenda of last evening, but I wanted to hear your comments just on the show in general last evening.
Well, for starters, we went to a new theater last night. It's called the Magic Theater. It's right down the street from the hotel. The theater that we've traditionally used is the Lila Cochran Theater, which is also right across the street from this hotel. Interestingly enough, Miss Cochran just died a day or two ago, and it was on the local news.
Cockrell.
There we go. Thank you. And but the theater last night held about 300 people, and I enjoyed the show. Understand, we had seven people signed up for the contest. In the end, only three performed. So they had to do some reconfiguring of the lineup at the last moment to fill the time.
They did, and I was talking with someone later saying that's one of the better Friday night shows that we've seen, and that's why I was preceding this a little bit of talking about the other shows we've had in the past. And even by them putting this together, a lot of people didn't know that they were paddling like heck underneath the water, you know.
Yeah, they absolutely were. Jamie did a good job stepping into the last moment. Yeah. Scott Pepper's a big act. I mean, he had some beautiful illusions. Yeah. He had three people on stage with him that were helping him. I thought it was a good show.
He's living here. Of course, he's from the U.S. I say, of course, those who don't know him, he's from the U.K., but he's been living in San Antonio for a long number of years, and he's got a theater that's across from the Alamo, I think, upstairs above the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum there, which he has regularly, and I guess some other people fill in from time to time when he's out working cruise ships, and that's kind of like his, I don't know which is his main bread and butter, whether it's cruise ships or this stage show, but apparently he does very well here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but the fact of the matter is, while I'm familiar with Scott Pepper, I've seen him perform before, I didn't know that he had an ongoing show here in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to hear that. Anytime I'm back in San Antonio, I'll look for his show, but I didn't know it, and I'm reasonably well plugged in,
yes,
I would say.
Yes, you are. Yeah. No, it's something that it's worth going to check out, certainly. And, yeah, he did a big Illusions of Jaws of Death, and I've forgotten what else, some other big things. Flash appearance and everything. And the theater is really a good theater for our size group that we have. And I was talking with Sal Manfredo, who is the president this year in San Antonio, who is saying that the cost of that theater is equal to, for the three nights, is equal to the one night if we were to use the Lila Cockrell Theater. So that's the difference. Plus, the Lila Cockrell will hold a lot more people than what we have attending here, which he had admitted that it's something less than 200 here this year. And they'd have to sell a lot of public tickets in order to fill that.
And that's always a difficult thing to do, selling public tickets, because the question becomes, what type of advertising budget do you have to penetrate in a big market to get those additional people in? The other thing that I'd heard on the Cockrell Theater a number of years ago is they had some tech issues. So
yes.
I thought that theater last night, the Magic Theater, was the perfect size for our group. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to sell 500 tickets or 700 or 800 tickets, then you're going to have to be in a bigger venue.
A larger venue.
But that was not the case. I thought the room filled up well. And other than being a little warm, a little stuffy in there, I thought the show went great. So I'm looking forward to Saturday and Sunday night also.
Yeah, and Scott Pepper had said that he had worked there for a couple of years, actually, I guess, before he went over to his other theater.
Yeah, he did. He mentioned that. I think he said he was there for 2 years. He's obviously familiar with the room. Actually, there wasn't a bad seat in the house.
No, everybody could see quite easily, I thought.
And if it's named the Magic Theater, we need to have magicians in there every weekend, quite honestly. That's how I'd look at it.
Yeah.
If I were here, I'd want to get a group of guys together and try to make that our home.
I don't know what all that they're using that for throughout the rest of the year, nor why it was called the Magic Theater, but when we were here for the mid-year meeting, we went over and took a look at that, and that has been around for, ooh, golly, well over 50 years. I think, in fact, it may have been built back when they had the Hemisphere here in San Antonio, which would have been
in the 60s.
64-ish.
I think there maybe 68. I'm not sure.
68, maybe.
But and it seems like I actually went to that Hemisphere.
I did.
Yeah.
I was
and, here. And you can look at the theater and look at the design of it, and you can see it was an older theater, but still 100% functional from what I could see. It had a nice size stage.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a great room for us.
Right. And so some people who are touring and looking for a theater, you might want to check out San Antonio, the Magic Theater. Is it Magic with a K?
Yes, it is. Interestingly enough,
yeah.
I noticed that walking in, Magic with a K. So Google it and get some information on it if you're traveling or you're looking for a home in San Antonio.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got a lot of other people you were talking about. This is a great lineup for talent. We got some people who are going to be lecturing here later today. Again, Scott Hollingsworth is going to be lecturing here shortly, and also going to be having Joe Givens and Carol Massey.
Massey. Yeah, absolutely. We've had them before years ago. They've got their own theater in Colorado, and they're a top act.
They're
going to
be
good people.
I think they're in tonight or tomorrow night show.
I can't recall, actually.
This will be an evening show. And then also we've got Marty Gilbert, who is going to be lecturing. I see him over there on the stage. He's going to be coming up soon.
Have you ever seen him before?
I have, yes.
Well, I haven't, and I'm going to predict this. Standing ovation.
Probably not a bad prediction,
right.
Yeah, he does a very good job. He was featured at Magic Live this year.
Okay, well, I wasn't at this Magic Live. I wish that I were, but I'm really excited about seeing him.
And Richard Turner is going to be on here in about an hour also.
About as impressive a shuffler and dealer as I've ever seen. I've seen Richard easily half a dozen times over the years. He's based here in San Antonio. Absolutely legendary figure in card magic. And other than maybe Steve Forti in Las Vegas, Richard Turner could be the best shuffler and dealer and run-up guy in the world today, would be my guess.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's blind, too, it's just miraculous. he's an amazing individual if you ever talk to him.
Yep, that's true. Well, Greg, thanks very much. Appreciate the rundown then.
Thanks, Scott. Looking forward to the weekend. Take care.
Me too. It's over the Magic Word Podcast. That was Greg Lancaster. This is Scotty out. So, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we just finished with Chris Capehart's lecture, and again, we were just talking with Greg Lancaster, kind of getting a rundown on last night's show, and one of the people I wanted to talk with right here to now is one of the people who was in the show, who was in the contest, Mr. Jeremy Mickelson. Hey, Jeremy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic, very good. And so, last night you won the People's Choice Award, which I think comes with a $1,000 prize, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, even if you don't win. Is that pretty good?
Yeah, it's it's a good feeling. Like I really appreciate everyone who voted for me, and they really enjoyed the show. So
How difficult was that in preparing for the show?
It's been a while, the act is constantly evolving and getting more solid every time, especially after a contest like this. Learn a lot. And
How many contests have you entered?
Probably more than 10 over the past 3 years.
Okay. So in preparing for the contest, that most people who are contestants, you really got to keep joining and competing in more and more contests, you know, and that requires a lot of traveling around. So how long have you been working on the act?
Since 2016. My first competition was actually, it's called Festival de Magie in Quebec City, Canada, which is going to be, they're hosting, it's the same committee, they're trying to host FISM. They're working really hard. Now they got the right to host FISM 2021, I think. So, yeah, it's the same committee host the Magic Festival of Quebec.
Are you from Canada?
No. No, Burlington, Vermont. Just moved to...
Not too far from Quebec, actually.
No, yeah, that's why. That's why I can take a bus to there every year. Yeah, so...
Yeah, I like Burlington. That's where Ben and Jerry's ice cream is.
Yeah, they're actually... Ben and Jerry are both alive. They live in Williston, Vermont. They're both in their late 60s.
Yeah. Is that right? Have you met them? You seen them?
No. Okay. I heard the stories.
And what have you heard?
I heard a story that they are still alive and live in Williston, the town next to where I go to college.
Okay. Well, I thought you just graduated because I saw something on Facebook. Didn't you just graduate
yet? I just graduated in May, and now I live in Orlando.
Okay. And we were talking also that you're wanting to go on a lecture tour here before long. So you got some ideas for entertaining and teaching?
Yeah, definitely. I want to put together lecture notes, teaching some of my insights on magic and especially manipulation magic and some of the stuff I came up with, like those two tricks I did last night. Mm-hmm. So,
and so, would you say that your lecture is really based upon close up or stand up or stage or a combination?
I'm going to talk about mostly for stage, but I'm going to talk a lot about theater and acting and how that will help magicians to better themselves.
Okay, what was your degree in?
Theater.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Perfect.
Theater major, art minor.
Yeah. So you would encourage other people who are going to be magicians to at least take some acting classes, I guess.
Yeah, I think theater is one thing that everyone should try at least once, and they will decide whether they like it or not and go from there.
And what's been your experience as far as contests go and as far as your recommendations to telling others that they should enter competitions?
Yeah, I think contest is definitely a good way to, you know, get yourself more exposure, to be seen by people, you know, who you never know who is in the audience and what context they can bring you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these days, like, it's about who you know instead of what you know. So having this network is really important. So
that's true. It's always best to try to do your best and to treat every audience with respect. When I was first starting out in magic a long time ago, I was doing something that, looking back, I was not treating the audience properly and my volunteers. I was rather rude to them. And then later I found out that someone said, you know, there was a congressman in the audience. And I thought, you know, he might have had some political power to have said, hey, you know, why don't you come and do our party? But he never contacted me, obviously, because he probably thought, this guy is horrible, you know. So I learned something just about the audience, and I've never done that before or since. It's just, it's a bad experience. So you need to listen to your audience, I think. You know?
Nowadays it's really hard. I was just looking at Lance Burton's post where he is now, like, doing a tour. Yeah, the TP illusion. It's like, what, people are stupid these days. Like, he was talking about, in his show, he was talking about ancestors.
For those who don't know, go ahead and explain what the story is here.
Yeah, so Lance posted an apology post on Facebook saying some people in his recent shows, after he retired for 10 years, he was going out on a new tour. In one of his recent shows, some people in his show were offended by the TB illusion because they think that's an insult for Native Americans. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, Lance talked about, like, some of his ancestors, it's part of the story. Some of his ancestors were Native Americans, so that's why he did the trick. And I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he's saying he's retiring the TP illusion. So I just don't know. Like, it's really hard to please everyone and to that degree.
As a person, I don't know if you'd be considered a millennial or Generation Z. What is your generation referred to as? You know. You say you call yourself a millennial, or
yeah, like I was born '97, so yeah.
The reason I'm asking is just because from your perspective and having just graduated from college, that how does that affect you as far as do you think that he was right or wrong or he should be more politically correct or what?
I mean, he's definitely doing like his best to try to
rectify the situation.
Yeah, and please the audience. And he has that high level. He's one of the best. And it's definitely something his sincere apology. It's something that we all learn, no matter what it is.
Regardless of age, I guess, too.
Yeah, for someone like Lance, the big star, to apologize in public, posting something on Facebook, no matter what issue it is, it's something that we should really respect.
Right. Now, just one last thing to start to wrap up. This is your first TAOM, I guess, you've attended?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think so far?
It's great. I actually have been trying to come here like for a while, because normally at this time, at the end of August, early September, I have to go back to school. Now I graduated, finally, and now I have time to actually go to TAOM.
So your graduation plans now that you are is to do what?
Trying to do more shows and then do it this professionally and full-time.
Are you looking to work on cruise ships or something, or what time? I mean, with your shade show, I mean, what are you going to be doing with this?
Yes, I'm mainly working on corporate, but I'm really trying to get into cruise ships.
Yeah.
So
cool. Very good. Well, Jeremy, congratulations again on winning the People's Choice Award there last night, and good luck at on getting first place. Hopefully, you know, we'll see Sunday night whenever they announce the winners over there. So thanks a lot also for your input.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jeremy Mickelson. This is Scotty out. So here we are. We're just getting ready for the Richard Turner Lecture. We've had Marty Gilbert, and I've got with me right now, before this lecture begins, Joe Gibbon and Carol Massey. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Hello, Scott.
Always good to see you, and happy birthday, Carol.
Oh, thank you.
So you're both going to be lecturing later this afternoon, independently or together, or how's the lecture supposed to be?
Actually, they rescheduled things, so Carol's doing her own lecture on Monday morning, and I'm doing...
They split us up.
Yeah. So it'll just be me this afternoon.
Okay. What is yours going to be about? What's the general gist of it? Creativity or...?
It's just effects, original effects.
Okay.
And thinking and theory behind it. There's one bizarre piece in there.
Okay. And you're going to be doing some bizarre stuff tonight at midnight, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be fun.
Carol, you're going to be talking about being a magician also.
Yes, I'm going to talk a lot about performance. I've got 40 years of it. So, and I'm also going to add a little bit on the end about marketing and social media.
Which is something that's really important with the Theater of Dreams there in Castle Rock, Colorado. Right?
I don't know how we would have stayed over 16 years if we didn't
16 years, is that right?
16 and a half, actually,
yeah. Okay. And that has grown into something else. So now you're doing then the Magic Festival in Castle Rock, is that right?
Well, actually, that's for the city of North Glen, which is a suburb of Denver.
Okay, so it's not necessarily related at all then to the Theater of Dreams kind of a thing.
No.
I thought it was outgrowth. It might have. Okay.
No. That's sponsored by the city up there. We booked 32 magicians and have them doing all kinds of magic in every kind of format you can think of.
Right.
Brought in
but
Jeff McBride as a headliner.
They found us to co-produce because of the Theater of Dreams.
But the Theater of Dreams is something I think is really kind of cool. You can go back, by the way, for the listeners, just to do a search for Theater of Dreams to find some information on this when we talk in more detail several years ago. But you continue to grow. But as I recall, also during the summertime, you were doing, and I assume still doing, summer camp for young magicians.
Wizard camp, we call
wizard
it.
Camp. That's
it. And we've had adults come to it, too, which is really
now?
Cool.
Is it grown to?
Oh, gosh. We do two or three a summer, and each session has 20 to 30. We try to limit it.
For 2 weeks or so? Or what is it?
No, it's only a week.
A week, okay.
Yeah. Occasionally we get enough that we have to bring in a third counselor to help teach. You know, we've had some kids come back 6 times.
Wow. You know?
Yeah.
So they would have specialized in something? I mean, they like stage, or they're trying to get close-up, or you do a little bit of everything?
It's usually close-up.
Okay.
Well, you know, ordinary objects, stuff they can do anywhere.
So you're not teaching them theatrics and drama and about stage props and building things?
Not necessarily building, but stage presence. And we have hired, believe it or not, some of our wizards, teenagers, to perform at this festival. So they are also, they've grown enough to get to the point where they can actually do their own show, which is cool.
We emphasize a lot of performance and creativity. It's not just how to do magic tricks. So we get them up on stage and they perform. do a formal show at the end of the week and everything else.
That's the thing, I think, a lot of times that people get involved in magic and they'll start carrying things around them because their initial thought is, I want to fool people. But then as you get into it, you realize really it's the entertainment and more the presentation.
That's the first thing we tell them.
That's the first thing we talk about.
Before we even teach them tricks, we tell them this is what magic's really about. It's not about the tricks. It's not about figuring it out.
But don't you think that kind of goes over their head? I mean, they're anxious just to learn the trick. And then they'll come back, they'll circle back. I mean, you're right. You're doing the exact right thing by telling them that up front.
Yeah.
But you have to re-emphasize that, I would think.
Oh, yeah. We have them come up with their own presentations for all the effects they do, come up with their own patter, their own, creative ideas. Mm-hmm. And we emphasize that over and over and over again.
All right. We're getting spanked down. Yeah, I think you're getting ready. Doug Gorman's going to introduce Richard Turner. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Joe.
Good talking
to you, Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished the lecture with Joe Given, and it was really good. It had a lot of really good stuff, and he was explaining some things that were proprietary with him. He's been doing for a long number of years that are now in the hands of other magicians that people are doing, and we might get into some of that a little bit later as to what is proprietary and what you can do and have the television rights and or not. That's a whole different subject. But anyhow, he had a lot of really good stuff, and now that the lecture is over, that we're getting ready to be released from that room to come back in the dealer's room and then hit all these guys over here. And then also then we're going to be going to dinner and then the evening show. So I'm here now with most everyone's favorite magic dealer, Mr. Harry Allen, Daytona Magic. Hey, Harry.
Scotty, what do you say? It's
good
to see you.
Good to see you, my friend.
Always, always. Let me tell you something. We live from convention to convention. And it's actually part of our life, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. You know, that we were just talking with each other, you know, at Magic Live, and that seems like, yeah. How many have you done this year?
Too many to count, to be honest with you. It seemed like it comes in bunches. The beginning of the year wasn't as many.
Yep.
But now it's just like, this was business, but not a convention. I was in Bermuda in New York City.
Yeah.
With prop masters for Broadway.
Right.
One of my highlights was being on the stage on Broadway with the prop master
really? Okay.
showing us the back workings of the Aladdin Broadway show, which
Was
absolutely cool. But I was talking to him, then I went to Bermuda to talk with a magician, but it was also vacation. Before that, Magic Live, IBM, and then other ones I just can't even think of right now.
Well, and you're going to have your own coming up soon.
We have ours in November.
And first, Lance Burton's going to be.
Lance is doing his show for the first time at a magic convention,
His
new show. Can't tell you how excited we are because he's bringing his whole cast with him.
And with Fielding West and
Keith West, Fielding West, and his juggler
Michael Goodoe.
You got it. We're just very excited. Friday night's going to be the guys from AGT, Force of Penn and Teller. We got a great talent lineup and a strong close-up show.
Yes.
And I'm heading back from here earlier than I want to because of the hurricane.
I want to talk a little bit about that. So what's going on?
Well, you know, they're so slow moving. There's no fast progress. You can't just say, "Oh, it just changed." But right now, it looks like it's going to be 100 miles off the coast.
Okay.
But these things are big.
Yeah.
So it may be 100 miles off, but you're going to get a lot of circular bands.
You're saying it's a Category 4 or 5?
I think it's about a 4. I haven't been near the TV after this afternoon, but I can just tell you, they are a mess to deal with. You've got to take them really seriously. And we do. That's why I'm leaving here early. The store is already boarded up. Sandbags. We have hurricane shutters, and I got to take care of the house when I get home as well.
So yeah, you got family to take care of and everything.
We do. Yeah.
Evacuate?
If they tell us to, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to tell
us to.
Have
you ever done that before?
Yes. Years and years ago, we evacuated. But the last 10, 15 years, we have not. But we hunkered down because they told us. If they told us to evacuate, I would.
Sure.
I'm not stupid. I'm not a hero.
Well, right now, it's supposed to be further south from Daytona, right?
South, and it's also a little further east.
East
coming up the coast, about 100 miles off. But again, if we just get wind and rain, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain it's raining. But the thing is when
storm
the damage
surge,
with the
too.
Flooding, the flooding is what really makes a mess of everything, a lot of damage.
Sure. Have you ever had any damage to the magic shop?
We have. We had about an inch or two of water in the whole store.
Mm-hmm.
We had to redo the whole showroom and everything.
So, oh, boy.
And
yeah.
It's nasty. It's nasty.
That
we're taking better. Yeah. This is about 5 years ago, maybe.
Oh, was that right? Which one was that?
I can't remember.
Remember the name of the
hurricane? I really, really don't, because we've gotten so many in the last few.
Yeah.
I really, really can't remember. I don't know what convention I'm at. All kidding aside, I do know. I don't remember the name of the hurricane, but they are. They can be destructive. It's all the way the spinning of it, where it hits us, depending if the water's coming in on the intercoastal water into the store or not.
Sure.
But we've been through some other ones where it didn't do anything. We didn't lose power because it was the way it was coming up. It just turned the right way.
Right, right. Now, you've been coming to TAOM for, I don't know, how many years?
Many.
Many.
Again, just like the other, I can't remember.
Before both of our hair turned gray.
Yeah. They can't see that on the cast here. But the answer is yeah. And, you know, like I said, 54 years I'm celebrating business. You've been around equally or more. This is our life. This is what we do.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I did want to point out something that would be like the elephant in the room, you know, that recently on Facebook they had posted a picture, you know, with you and Matt King and everything, said, hey, you know, this is a Chinese ripoff, and why should, you know, we be having a dealer like you? And so what's your response? What do you say about that?
I'll tell you what I told over and over again. We get samples in every day from around the world, samples. Yeah. Now, I have people that work for me that put this stuff away that aren't magicians. They put it away. I have no time, and I can't hire somebody to research every item that comes in.
Right.
Having said that, anybody that contacts me, which is the proper way to do things instead of just writing, becoming a keyboard warrior, contact me.
Yeah.
I am the most honorable, reputable, credibility person. I will take it off, and I did immediately, the haunted box.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Now,
yeah.
Let me just tell you this.
Yeah.
When he contacted me, I told him when I was at the convention, I will not be carrying it, and I didn't. It was taken off. I called the shop immediately because that's what we do. He saw a picture 2 weeks later of an old picture of me and Matt King at Magic Live.
Oh, that was an older picture?
Yes.
That was not?
No.
Oh, okay.
So wait a minute. So
interesting. Okay.
He says, well, I see it. And he thought it was my convention, Joe Moran.
He thought
it was my convention that, oh, you're still selling it. I said, first of all,
so
Mike.
That's why he was outing you, thinking you were still doing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Truth be told, my convention hasn't taken place yet. My convention's not until November.
Okay.
So that couldn't be my convention. And he says, do you mind if I contact Matt King to prove this? I said, please. I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Anybody that has an issue, contact me.
Yeah.
Okay?
You'll
I just talked to Teller from Penn & Teller.
Yeah.
I had an item that I thought might have been his that was sent to me as a sample.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, please don't sell it. Immediately we stopped. Immediately.
That's ethical.
And he just told me, Harry, you guys are the best, and which I appreciate. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
So if there's an issue, I mean, you know, if you haven't been in the magic business, you don't know we are big in the magic business.
Right.
I say this humbly. We're not just carrying 10 items. There's a lot of things going on. I'm on the road every couple weeks. I just can't have time to do everything and find out who invented what.
Right.
But just contact me, and I will definitely make it right. And I can't express that enough. As the samples come in, I just need to know. I don't know where everything in the root to every trick comes from.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I remember talking with Nick Ruggiero when he and Rich, you know, had the collector's workshop many years ago, and they were talking about how that they had paid somebody for the rights to, I think it was Jumbo Sidekick or something, and then many years later, somebody said, hey, that was my trick. And he said, we only pay once. The people show us the legitimacy and the providence, basically, how this came down, and after you've shown us that, then we will believe what we see. I mean, he's an attorney, and Rich is, and so once they look at it, it's okay. But then once somebody comes back and then says, "Hey, no, that this was mine," you know, then again, that kind of comes full circle. What I was talking about at the beginning, what Joe Given was talking about, of creating something that was later shown on Penn & Teller that was actually a trick that he had invented, you know. But anyhow,
to punctuate and accentuate what you just said,
yeah,
somebody very, very big in magic said to me, Harry, with all this garbage that you were going through, it's a very, very slippery slope.
Yeah.
People can start saying, I invented this, and that, and so on. But if somebody says it's theirs and it's theirs, I don't want to carry something that's been copied.
Right.
Won't do it. Will not do it. But I don't know it. I don't have time to sit at the computer. I'm not a computer person. Just sits there all day long, 8 hours a day. I'm in the business to make a living of marketing magic.
Well, part of the problem and the benefit and the boon of the social media is how that somebody can go out and say something or show something and make it look like, again, that was an older picture, of you that made it look like it was current, and then they kind of came back to make it sound like making you the bad guy.
And to be clear, it was older by about a month. It was after we talked, and I told him I'm taking it off.
Yeah.
There was somebody posted a picture of me and Matt King at the booth.
Yeah, and said, no, you hadn't taken it off.
So, that's exactly right. And I immediately took it off. Don't sell it. Won't have it. Right. I will only sell the original that I get from one of the big distributors that is his original.
Yeah. Well, it's good to clarify that.
I'm glad you did, because if anybody just calls me and talks to me, I'll straighten it out with them. I'm telling you. Just tell me, and I'll make it right. I'm not into making copies of. But again, I just don't have time to sit there and research all the. We stock over 20,000 items. I'm getting new samples every day in the shop.
Sure.
There's no time for me to sit there and go over each individual piece. Mm-hmm. But if I'm notified, I'm happy to work with people.
Yeah, that's great. Good.
So I'm glad you brought that up because it needed to be, once again, I thought I said that. I did actually write this a number of times, and everybody, and there's a lot of people I call cowards. I have to sit behind the computer and write it. They won't call me and talk to me.
Yeah, they're trolls. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it just annoys me. I don't want to use the word, but if you have any, okay?
Yeah.
Then you call me and sort out and get the real truth. Don't make up something in your mind you think is what it is.
Right, right. Well, I think that that's something that can be sorted out quickly. You know, but a lot of times they don't want to
take the effort.
Approach you. Yeah, make the effort and approach you. You know, and have an argument. So anyhow, that I think we've got a good listenership, so everybody's going to be able to understand.
And the one last thing I want to tell you.
Yeah.
People who are classy will listen to what we said. Okay, and understand that I mean.
Sure, sure.
It's the people that just are turned off or whatever, they don't want to know from anything, will have their opinion.
Good to know. Well, Harry, thanks a lot.
Always.
As always, I appreciate your friendship and also all the good work that you do, you know, here with the TAOM and all the other magic conventions. You know, we love you.
Thank you, man.
Thanks again.
Back at you.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Harry Allen at the Daytona Magic Shop. Scotty out. All right, so I'm back from the dealer's room, and I just was talking with Harry Allen, as you just heard, and we were referring to Joe Givens' lecture that was in which he was talking about the ethics, I guess, of performing something that is from someone else's lecture that you would perform on television without having a television rights. And you've got not just that. I mean, you've invented the gumball machine, and several other things that have been knocked off and ripped off, and we can perhaps get into that now or later date also, which is another big story. But as far as I remember, that Bruce Servan, I think, was one of the first people who came out with a book saying all rights reserved, and it's kind of like, well, why should we even be performing this, or why would you sell a book if I can't perform it? Well, basically, I think he was saying that if I'm going to be working the same trade show as you are, I have the right to do this, you know, card to wallet instead of you doing it, because that's my trick, you know, basically. And then later for television rights, I remember the brouhaha many years ago with David Copperfield and Terry Seabrook, you know, about the burn build routine, whole other, you know, kind of a thing then too. But there has been something then that you had created before that people used to say, we reserve the rights for television rights. You got any comments or no? Okay. I'll let you talk for a while.
Oh, well, you know, I never was concerned about having my stuff done on television by anybody else.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even think about putting something in the books or notes saying, you know, I reserve the rights for TV. And these, you know, this goes back to the mid-'80s.
Right.
And nobody really thought that way back then. Bruce
Servan
was probably, you know, way ahead of the game on that. So, you know, I wished I would have thought of it back then, because then I could have either made some money off it if somebody wanted to pay me rights to perform it on TV, or in this case, you know, I wanted to do that one myself. That was my plan, to put that up on Penn and Teller, because I knew it would fool them.
Right.
And then somebody learned it at a lecture, and they did it before I did.
Okay.
So,
without naming names or anything, you want to be specific as to what the trick was, or?
Well, it was a Band-Aid trick.
Okay. In which that the
Band-Aid transposition, where spectators' initials are put on Band-Aids, and then they change from one location to another.
It's being stuck down actually on from one person to the other.
Yeah, exactly. Stuck down on people.
Yeah.
And it's fooled everybody I've ever shown it to. You know, so that's why I had confidence it would work on Penn and Teller.
Obviously, it was a fooler.
Yeah, it was, because it fooled them, you know, which was great. And, you know, I was concerned about putting it out on the market. Carol's been wanting me to put it on the market for years as a single release.
Yeah.
And with all the piracy and stuff that's going on now, I'm not sure. You know, I've already been burned enough with the gumball machine and everything else. It kind of makes me a little leery about putting my stuff out there, you know, which is something you hear from a lot of pros now. They're like, well, I'm going to stop putting out my stuff in books because they're just getting ripped off and being sold in China, you know, photocopies. And, you know, if it's a DVD, that's easy enough for people to copy and distribute. And it's like, how do we do this? How can we put these things out there so other people can do it without receiving harm from it, you know?
I don't know that we can. You know, when I talk to Cosmo, for example, about Real Magic, that he says that no sooner does he release a new copy of Real Magic, that there are 8,000 copies of this that are ripped off within a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's what would happen with this. You know, even though I've gone to the trouble to shoot it and edit it and put it together, I just haven't figured out how I can get it out there without, you know. Right now, I'm just basically selling it by myself directly with people that sign an agreement that they won't distribute it or copy it or sell it to somebody else.
Right.
You know.
I remember years ago that Michael Weber would sell his lecture notes that were black written on red paper
that
would not Xerox.
That's right. You couldn't photocopy them. That's all changed now, too.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, it's just I wish we could find a way to get the Brotherhood to understand the ethics of this stuff. But unfortunately, it's...
Well, that's why I wanted to come back and talk with you after you had mentioned that, is just because I know that we have, not necessarily young people, but people young or new to the magic profession and kind of maybe just being introduced to going to conventions, and they're listening to this about, and wanting to hear from someone who is a wise wizard who has gone through all this and had these heartaches, and what advice you would give to others saying the reason why that they should be ethical. What would be your advice? What would you say to people?
About why they should be ethical?
Yeah, I mean, not why, but I mean what they should do, what they should respect, you know.
Well, you know, I think they need to look at it as an art, and that it's just like any music or writing, you know, a book or a movie. You know, those things are all copywritten things. It's hard to copyright a routine. You can copyright a script, but if they can understand that these are ideas that are created by somebody and... it's not for public consumption unless they pay the rights to learn the trick or do the trick, just like you would have to pay the rights if you're using somebody's music in your show. You can't just go out and record the Eagles Hotel California and sell it. You know, they own the rights to that song unless you get permission from them. But it seems like, you know, in the magic realm, I think it's...
free game.
Everybody feels like it's free game because they think it's just ideas, and a lot of it is just ideas, but they did come from somebody's creativity, and those ideas wouldn't be out there if somebody didn't create them to begin with.
Same thing with a lot of lines, you know, I mean, that we toil over every little movement, every little line, and it will take, jokingly, three to five years of your life or something in order to come up with a little joke or something, but you know it's the right time, the right place, and then somebody hears you say it and say, oh, I'm going to use that, you know.
Yeah, and that's another weird thing that's peculiar with magicians. You know, I heard this thing on NPR that was a great piece, maybe a 10-minute piece, on comedians and how comedians don't knock each other off. They don't steal each other's lines because they are ostracized from the community if
That's true.
Caught doing that.
Yeah.
And so they know this kind of code of ethics. They know that if they steal somebody else's routine and they're caught doing that in a comedy club somewhere, the comedy club owners won't book them back. They will not be communicating with other comedians anymore. They're blackballed.
I know they're very conscientious about lines that, you know, if you're a friend of a comedian, you give him a line, it's like, did you come up with that, or did you just happen to hear that, and it's in your subconscious, it may be from someone else's routine. He may not have heard, or she may not have heard that, but then if they put that in their routine, then they're going to say, hey, that was so-and-so's. Well, I didn't know that. I heard it from my buddy, you know.
But, right.
Yeah, it's difficult.
It's hard. It's hard to police this stuff.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk more about it, let's do that.
Yeah.
On another session.
At another time. No,
okay.
I understand. That's fine. I just wanted to real quickly have a chat about that just as a follow-up from your lecture. So I thought it was an excellent lecture.
Thank you.
I remember this from some years ago and some of the stuff that you had taught that kind of reminded me. I think I've got your set of notes from way back.
I'm sure you do.
It's over the Magic
There's
Word Podcast.
Stuff in there.
There is. It's excellent. And I would recommend it if you guys get a chance to see Joe Given's lecture. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Joe Given. This is Scotty out.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, now we are with Mr. Chris Capehart, all the way from New York City. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. And so you were out in the heat just walking over in San Antonio.
Incredible heat.
Now, how is this heat compared to New York?
This is terrible.
Now, wait a minute. You work outdoors. You're a street guy.
I haven't worked outdoors in years. I don't do outdoors
You're all
anymore.
Now indoors.
No, I teach it, but I don't work it.
Now, whenever
I'm
you
a
do
pointer now.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. I once you get as old as I am, you become a pointer.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
like
and
that.
that's how you know you're a master magician. You point from that moment on.
You say you do that. You
there
do
you
that.
Go.
You pick that
you
up.
Get
the, you carry
I
that.
Travel with a guy who does stuff for me.
Yeah.
There you go.
But this, I know the heat in New York City gets pretty.
Not like this.
Well, San Antonio is pretty sticky.
This is really, really.
Yeah.
Sticky.
Yeah.
Right now we're in the 70s at home.
Yeah. Fortunately, that the theater is only about a block or two from us, so it's not too far.
But I heard it's real hot. I just saw it. I'm about to run over there right now.
I enjoyed your lecture, by the way, this morning.
Oh, thanks.
That was
fun.
Very good. And so you're going to be performing tonight?
Tonight, 7 o'clock.
Okay. And have you, you've been at the TAOM before? It's not
your
first. Oh,
yeah, yeah. This is the second time.
I was going to say, I thought that you were.
Oh, yeah, this
was
is the
it in Austin
time.
Or where were you before?
No, right here.
It was here in San Antonio.
Right here, San Antonio.
Okay.
Right
so you do
San
like
there.
The heat. You came back a second time because you didn't get enough of it the first time.
No, I like TAOM.
Okay. I like your thinking,
I just like this convention. This convention happens to be well done.
Has a nice feel.
It's a great feel. It's laid back. And they do so much for you as a performer. This is really good.
Yeah. Yes. So you like the way the organizers treat you?
I love the organizers. They treat you like gold.
Yeah.
Really,
yep. really. And the Mexican food around here, the restaurants are great.
I only have barbecue.
Oh, well, they got good barbecue here, too.
I went out street and had barbecue.
Texas. Okay, well.
I'm in Texas. You have barbecue
right
in Texas.
Exactly, we do.
They have some good barbecue, too. The flavor alone.
I'm glad you enjoyed this.
I will take care of you, man. That's it. Stay soon.
All right. So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Chris Capehart. Scotty out. All right, well, we're getting ready to walk over to the evening show, and it starts about 7 o'clock, and so just about a block away. It's not too far away, despite what Chris Capehart was saying. So we're going to venture out into the heat. But I ran into a longtime friend, another one from Houston, Mr. Alan Pauly. Hey there, Alan.
Good evening. We're looking forward to tonight's show.
Well, and that's what I was just going to talk with you about, that you had remarked about how that you thought, I didn't get to see the close-up competition this afternoon, and I did see the lecture, but what did you think about the competition?
The judges are going to have a tough time, starting from a middle school kid up to some really, really seasoned guys, and they're going to have a tough time deciding who's going to, I guess it'll be announced tonight, but... I'm anxious
Sunday.
To see.
I think they do it tomorrow. Yeah.
I'm anxious to hear, you know, what the judges thought. But I can tell you, from the crowd standpoint, we liked them all. It was a great, great group.
Well, now, last night in the stage contest, that there were people that didn't show up, and it kind of got, for a variety of reasons, got whittled down to just three contestants. How many contestants do they have today?
I think they had seven.
Okay.
Seven or maybe eight. We the guy and I, the guy I was sitting next to, he and I were discussing, then we kind of lost track of it. But like I said, they were just fantastic. They you know, from a...
Yeah, well, a lot of times, you know, that the contestants are a little bit uneven, that you're not sure about whether that, you know, they may be really good in their club, but when it gets down to it, they may not be all that great. But you're saying they were all pretty equally...
This was a good group.
Okay.
This was a good group, and thoroughly enjoyed each performance.
How about the youngest one?
You know, he was out there giving it his best and had some great lines, connected with the audience pretty quick, and not easy. He must have been 12 or 13, maybe 14. He said he was in middle school.
That wasn't the Amazing Adam, was it? Or Amazing Anthony. Anthony, yeah.
Yes.
He's from Houston.
He is from Houston.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Houston actually had a pretty good representation. We were a couple people from Houston and almost everybody from Texas, I think.
That's yeah, good. Yeah. And so you enjoyed the lectures then also today.
I did. Yeah, Maddie was phenomenal. You know, we sat there and it ran over about probably 20-30 minutes, and we all sat there in amazement. And
yeah, when you think the guy didn't have any hands or feet when he was born, well, pretty amazing.
You know,
and then Richard Turner.
In perspective, yeah. Richard was phenomenal.
So
yeah.
It's kind of interesting back to back. You know, some people would think would be handicapped, and they have gone off beyond that.
Two guys with disabilities. It, like I said, it puts things in perspective.
Yeah. And then Joe Given.
Didn't see Joe.
Okay.
Didn't see Joe. I got there late.
He had a good lecture on. He had done this several years ago, and a lot of some creative ideas. You bought anything from the dealer's room?
Not yet. Well, actually, I bought some little things for my 5-year-old granddaughter who just became interested in magic. So we wanted to see how I can kind of, you know, encourage her to pursue this a little bit.
And you've been coming to the TAOM for probably how many years?
1968, and. This is the first one since 1974 that I haven't come with Barbara because she's home babysitting with the grandkids.
I was going to say that she's not here with you.
No.
You're
first,
on your lonesome.
First one since 74.
Okay.
But I've been coming since 68.
Well, good seeing you. I'm glad you're here, and thanks for recap on that. So for the Magic Word Podcast, I was Alan Pauly.
Let's enjoy the show tonight.
This is Scotty out.
Hey, is that Scott Will?
Well, as Scott Hollingsworth would normally say, it's showtime, or it's almost showtime. And speaking of Scott Hollingsworth, I've got him right here with me. Hello, Scott.
Hello. How's everybody out there in the wide, wide world of internet?
We're all fine.
Great.
We're almost showtime. We're just about 10 minutes away from the wonderful evening show here tonight. And I just wanted to ask your opinion. Kind of, you've been coming to TOM for as long as I think there's been dust.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that.
And so how are you enjoying this one? You were part of it. You lectured yesterday.
Yeah, I lectured yesterday and did close-up again today, and it was just wonderful. I always coming to TOM is like visiting family, because there's so many people from year after year that you build a relationship with, and you just don't remember all the people that you know that all belong to the same organization as Magic.
Right.
Until you come to a convention, and then you're witnessing all of these friends that you developed over the years, and that's what I like about it, the camaraderie, the personal interest that all these people have. And we're in the process of developing new people all the time, and it's fun to meet the people that are coming in for the very first time.
Right.
But the main thing is, it's just family, and that's what I like.
Well, you know, you've always been very supportive of youth, and also the advancement of Magic, certainly as being entertainment director at the Magic Island for so many decades, and then also in working with all the acts and honing them down to get them as professional as they are. In fact, one of the people going to be on tonight is Stuart McDonald, you had done a little bit of help with their act.
Sure did, and I'm just so happy to see that his career has just gone bazonko. What a great, great career.
The FISM and everything.
FISM, one after the other. And just a really a warming heart feeling that what all he's accomplished in a very short time.
Right. But that's just one of your many children. Yeah. I mean, in the world, you have so much to be thankful for, I'm sure, you know, for all these years. But the... but also the youth. I mean, there are new people that are coming up all the time. Uh-huh. You've been working then with the youth program.
Right.
In Houston.
We had a junior magician enter the contest today, and I really think he's going to do well, very, very well in the contest. I thought that his posture was good, his act was great, he was right on cue, all the lines popped, and I just think that these kids are the future of our... And if we don't start feeding the magic to the kids, TOM, as you look around tonight, we're a bunch of old folks, you know, and these young kids that we see are the lifeblood and the life stream of our industry.
Well, that's true, you know, and the amazing Anthony, talking with Alan Pauly, and Alan was talking about how great that he was in his show today, but the seriousness of that, too, that, like, as you know, when he was at the ring meeting recently in Houston, that he performed two times just to try to get some feedback and some exposure to people and reactions, audience reaction, to kind of get used to some applause and laughter, and get his timing down.
And that's the hardest thing to learn, as you know. You're so concentrated on your presentation, you don't pause for laughter. You don't pause for the claps. You just run right through it. And people hear you talking, they quit clapping or they quit laughing. And they want to catch the next word you say. And that's hard to learn. And I think our conversation that we had with him last Monday at our Ring 39 meeting, he really took to heart. And a couple of things that we all shared with him, I think he really, really put it to work today. And I think that it shows. I think we're going to be really pleased with his outcome. And he's just one of the many kids that we have in the greater Houston area, which I know every city has these kids, and we as magicians of all the different cities have to get behind our kids. We just got to do something to support them and their families, to bring them to the convention. If we can get them to come to one, I think they'll come to the rest of them on their own. And I just feel like that I know the mother of Amazing Anthony, Ms. Whitten, she basically is just thrilled. She had no idea that a magic convention a group of magicians had this much family interest. You know, she thought a bunch of guys sitting around doing card tricks and coin tricks.
Yeah.
That was her image of what a convention would be like. But she has just thoroughly enjoyed it, and she's coming. She'll be at the Fort Worth convention next year because her and her son have really enjoyed this event.
You know, that's an interesting point, that I think there is a perspective that the public would have if they're really just getting involved in magic, or that, particularly if you're a parent of a child, yeah. mm-hmm. and you're thinking exactly that. It's just a bunch of old guys sitting around doing card tricks or yeah. something. They don't really have a perspective of what the thing is going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's why that I hope that when people are listening to this podcast who have not attended a convention or who might be new to magic, would yeah. be encouraged, A, to come to conventions, and B, to compete. Mm-hmm. And I think the first step would be, as you said, if they come to one convention, you're going to come to more. But the first step is to actually go to your local IBM ring meeting.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, IBM ring meeting, whatever club is in their area, be it the right. SAM, be it their local, what has not been chartered by the SAM or IBM. If they're meeting as a magic club, they should support magic, I think, and go to the convention, be it whatever state convention they're located in, because we have got to make effort to encourage the kids to go. And we've got to, I think one of the best ways for us to do it is bite the bullet and pay for some of their registrations for them to go and become involved. Such as you know, we have the Wyatt and his sister and
right.
family.
And they're here.
And they're here. They've been to the last three conventions because they got involved with our local club enough to understand the importance of their kids being involved. So, yeah.
And the camaraderie
yes.
and what you can develop here.
Yes.
And you start to become friends. And that's the thing is that when you first come that you may just know a few people. That's the advantage you get
yeah.
if you've gone to a club meeting to begin with, because you'll see some of the people from your club at a convention.
Uh-huh.
And the next year you will see some of the people who you had met the year before
mm-hmm.
and you start expanding on that friendship and
uh-huh.
that
yeah.
circle.
Yeah. I don't know how to say, I won't even say it, but I see a lady who's coming our way. She came as a date with a guy.
Yeah.
And I remember her very well because he had brought her to Magic Island, and I was telling him about the convention, the TOM convention. So he brought her. Well, she fell in love with magic, dropped him, and keeps coming back.
Yeah. No, that's funny. That's funny.
I mean, I said, whatever happened to him?
Yeah.
She said, that was somebody else.
but she loved magic.
Yeah, she loves magic. And yeah. she's the greatest audience in the world.
Yep.
If you can get her in your close-up show, you've got
she's
your...
She's gold.
Yeah, she's gold.
Yep, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. All right, well, listen, thanks, Scott.
Oh,
it was always good talking to you, buddy.
Oh, good always talking to you.
So with the Magic Word Podcast. That was Scott Hollingsworth, better known as Scotto to the world of magic.
Thank you.
Wide, wide world of magic.
Yes.
This is Scott Wells. Scotty out. Well, we just completed the day, and this is day number 2. Seems longer because of the lateness of the hour right now. But I thought I would talk with Trixie Bond, who will talk just a little bit about the evening show. Hi there, Trixie.
Oh, good morning, Scott. So, 1:30 in the morning.
Yes.
We just finished the Bazaar show.
Yes. It was really good.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
In tribute to Ed Solomon.
Mm-hmm. And they had different people who had who were performing over there. Saul Ravencraft is the MC with Rolando Santos, and let's see who else. Joe
Vlad
Gibbon
and Parr.
Mm-hmm. And Paul Prater. Yep, and David Parr. Yeah, it was all good. Yeah.
The only person I'd ever seen before was Rolando and Saul Ravencraft. So these are new performers for me.
Yeah, they'd come in from a lot of different places here.
Yeah.
The evening show, I was talking to Walter Blaney as I was walking back, and he was saying, you know, that's one of the better TOM shows I've ever seen.
No kidding. I thought it was one of the best TOM mm-hmm. shows I've seen in a long time, emceed by
Oscar
Munoz, mm-hmm. and had some good performers. It moved fast and had manipulation and...
Yeah,
pretty
the Dove
thin.
Worker, Lucio, or whoever it was,
yes.
I think, you know, started, was really good.
And Nick Lewin was fabulous.
Right. And then Stuart McDonnell actually had two pieces.
He had two pieces. I loved seeing his the closing act, the FISM act with the mirror. That was marvelous. It's improved since last time I saw it.
I think it has also.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was good to see his manipulation, the first half he opened with.
That's right, because this was an act that, didn't he say he performed this in Madrid, I think, probably in 85, I think it was, because 88 was Scheveningen. And I was at the 88, but I wasn't at 85. It was Madrid. Yeah, and so he had performed a manipulation act when he was, what, 18, he said?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yes, and Chris Capehart was on, and he just got good reaction with a Fraidy Cat routine with about 12 kids on stage, and he had some really good reactions. So.
Yeah,
and he worked that crowd of kids.
Showed that he was a really true performer, really quite a professional.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Nick Lewin's lecture was really good. I thought I had a lot of sound advice.
Well, yeah, coming from a true working pro, I mean, it was the real deal. You can tell.
Yeah, you can, and I think that just, again, some of the touches and things that he was talking about as far as the handling.
Wallet, and
Yeah, it was all really good.
And how to keep your things, like one, two, three, keep adding to the effect. Mm-hmm. And
to get the applause.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good advice.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it was something by a true pro. Well, it is getting late or night or early in the morning, and so, gosh.
We're both tired.
We're getting both very tired. And so for those of you who are listening, this we're going to wrap this up then. And tomorrow will be day three, and then actually on Monday is going to be day four, but all that's going to be happening on day four is going to be a lecture by Carol Massey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Which we're going to be sticking around for, but my point being is that I'm going to combine both days three and four together, so I'll be releasing that a little bit later in the afternoon on Monday. So don't have to listen to for one tomorrow, other than the one you're hearing now, then the next one is, will not be coming out until later on Monday, but not early Monday morning, because it'll be a combination of numbers three and four. So Trixie, thank you very much.
You bet, Scott.
Always a pleasure. So for the Magic Word Podcast, I was Trixie Bond, Scotty out.